PayPay.org.
You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM HD, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and on the web at kfai.org. For the next 60 minutes, you'll be hearing The Wave Project, KFAI's weekly community access hour. If you'd like to produce your own one-hour radio program, information on applying can be found at kfai.org/Wave Project. The views expressed on this program are those of the persons expressing them and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of Fresh Air's Incorporated Board of Directors, volunteers, or staff.
Collective. I'm Maureen Skelly, and I'd like to welcome Susu Jeffrey to the studio.
Hello, hello.
Our Poetry for the People gal, who's been here for many, many years, and Pam Hill.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here. It's going to be a powerful show today with music and poetry and lots of thoughts shared.
And Pam Hill is our honorary board runner. She's going to be joining us today in the studio.
I want to start with a poem from Lynn Ungar, who has been compared to Mary Oliver. And this is a recent poem, and it's wonderful. It's called Pandemic. What if you thought of it as the Jews consider the Sabbath, the most sacred of times? Cease from travel. Cease from buying and selling. Give up just for now on trying to make the world different than it is. Sing, pray, touch only those to whom you commit your life. Center down. And when your body has become still, reach out with your heart. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. You could hardly deny it now. Know that our lives are in one another's hands. Surely it has come to that. Do not reach out your hands. Reach out your heart. Reach out your words. Reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. Promise this world your love, for better or for worse, in sickness and health, so long as we all shall live.
Do you want to say where you found that?
I found it in my inbox. and then I sent it out to about 30 people.
Yeah.
I got it from Rebecca Kramer. And then I went online and found out that Lynn Ungar, U-N-G-A-R, if you want to Google her, she's all over the web. I think she reads her poem aloud. I've gotten a lot of nice comments about that.
Well, Susu,
people need a little compassion.
Whomever you sent it to is somehow connected to somebody who it was then sent to me.
Oh, yeah?
This is just something that I think is so beautiful about our community. And
Six degrees or what?
I think it's much less.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But I really loved that poem, and I loved hearing you read it this morning because I just read it in my head, right? So mm-hmm. I love the life you just gave it for us today, and I like hearing it again. So Lynn Ungar, I'm going to look her up, and I'm going to hear it again and again.
Lynn Ungar, U-N-G-A-R. I think she's from California.
So the song that we went in with is an old Fleetwood Mac song from the release Bare Trees, which came out in 1972, and it was called Homeward Bound. So we are going to be talking a little bit about the current events here today, but also we're going to be celebrating spring. We're going to be reading poems of the earth. We're going to be trying to look at some positive sides of things, because with any kind of tragedy or any kind of difficult time, there always seems to be a corresponding positive side to it. So we're going to be trying to uncover some of those positive sides to things. And also wanted to say how grateful I am to be able to come here and do another radio show on KFAI. Their fundraiser is coming up, and it's
this week on Friday starts, yeah.
Starts Friday. KFAI Fresh Air Radio, been around for at least 40 years. Susu and I have been lucky enough to come down here and speak to you, whoever is listening. I love just driving around in my car, tuning in different channels. And now, especially with people homeward bound, it's a nice time for radio. And
it really is. And for community voices, the connections, the connections that have long been important at KFAI continue especially to be important right now.
Reflecting on this a bit, numerous things have come up that are positive. One is parents that are working all the time have time to spend with their children. Another one that was brought up was fast food places. If people are staying home more and preparing their own food, some really good home cooking might be popping up across the globe here.
There's a lot of cooking going on. In fact, I think there's going to be a baby boom in 8 or 9 months.
Well, we'll see. So I'm going to read an excerpt from a poem by the poet, the late poet John Ingman, who was a wonderful teacher, instructor, published numerous books. And it's from his book, Temporary Help, an excerpt from the title poem. And I wanted to remind people that there are many people that are probably happy to have a little time at home right now. I'm waiting for the bus, and that mattress of gas the sky is making me feel blah and unwelcome. Another Monday morning, and I'm working someplace I hate, making money for someone I don't know, adding to the gross national product of woe, the bus is late, the clouds are low. This is not literature. This is my life on Monday morning, what people who don't read books call really true. Getting through the day is what I worry, how to avoid becoming a story for the morning news, not to be run down by traffic during rush hour, not to be eaten by cancer from chemicals and fatty foods, not to drown in my computer's beautiful cathode ray blue. I'm worrying. That's what I'm doing. When a red balloon comes drifting up the avenue, surrendered by the sky, dipping and swooning, dangling a string. It's 7:30 in the morning, and I'm in no good mood for the gloom to be lifted by the blush of a red balloon. I'm suffering from depression in a bus shelter, feeling wounded at the crossing of two avenues no one will have heard of in 1,000 years. Feeling sorry for myself, feeling round-shouldered, inhaling exhaust fumes. Still, something a red balloon can bring against the gloom seems really true. Floating from nowhere to the roof of a bus shelter, I jump for the string. I take the elevator up, follow arrows wing to wing, find my name on the cubicle plaque. I work in a giant building, 40 floors and 40 cubicles per wing, 4 wings per floor, 1 person and 1 personal computer per cubicle, a labyrinth in which everyone's goal is to stay lost. Although I must work here until the end of the day, I can let my mind drift. I can gaze from my high window to the edge of the city. Houses where thousands of people I will never know will always live. And beyond, beautiful but alarming, the curve of the earth as it turns through what another solar system's citizens must call outer space. It makes me feel important, thankful to my molecules for being me, my DNA chain gang working another day so that I don't suddenly become vapor. If I can be someone forever, let me be who I am while gazing from this window, from this third planet in our local galaxy, between Mars and Venus, 5 million years old. These moments that could change me forever don't come often enough. And when they come, I don't often see. Although I remain alert and curious, as I work at my desk this morning, this moment at the end of a century, this hole in the day through which I fall with Earth as it falls through the sky, the current universe before my eyes. Poet John Engman from Temporary Help. That was Aqua Tuta from Robbie Robertson and the Red Road Ensemble, music for Native Americans. Language from a small tribe in Canada translates to take care of yourself, take care of your mother, take care of your grandmother, take care of your tribe. I'm Maureen Skelly, and you're back here with the Eclectic Collective. Susu Jeffrey is here to read you a poem, and Pam Hill is joining us today and running the board for us. We hope everybody's doing well and enjoying being at home, hiking, whatever you might be doing this morning.
Well, I'm, of course, obsessed with trees and the land. This poem is called Speak. 10 years we've been at it. We lost the park, Minnehaha Mac Park, a drive-through park, electric power towers moved further into the park above benches facing a wall, the sound barrier highway wall. The benches face the wall. Backwards on the benches, you would face the Mississippi. At Coldwater Spring, we lose 30,000 gallons a day. The road sunk 6.5 feet into the water table flow to the spring, the last natural spring in all of Hennepin County. We passed a state law, no loss of flow to or from the spring. We lost 20%. We still have 100,000 gallons a day. Only natural spring in the whole county, 1 million people. We lost the trees, the Burr Oak Grove especially, the 4 trees in the cardinal directions. Not old enough to be sacred, they said in court, according to their testimony. Only 137 years old. 137 years from 1999 is 1862, the year of the Dakota War. The trees planted to mark sacred land, elders said. Within the loss, the losses, the suicidal progress, the brutality of the cops, the cold, the encampment, the people, listening, meetings, listening, 17 months of talking and listening to the land. The land holds the stories. We sit on the land, we listen, the voices of all who lived here speak. Yeah.
Darkness cover me like a blanket of night. Oh, cover me lightly. Shadows deepening darkness, whispering softly, holy maker of moonlight, singing through starlight, keeper of all life, hidden seed deep in the dark soil of the earth, fertile ground.
And that was Sarah Thompson from her release Fertile Ground, a spring song for you all. I'm Maureen Skelly, and Susu Jeffrey and Pam Hill are here in the studio today. And Susu just read a poem about Coldwater Spring and the land speaking. And we thought we'd give a little history on that for those of you that don't know about that.
Coldwater Springs, it springs. It's like a woman's nipple. It has many, many little outflows. It's not like a pee hole. It's like a sieve. And it's this gorgeous land that used to be a wetland that the National Park Service has created recreated within their male, white male ideal into a prairie, because a prairie is easier to care for. You can buy flowers and stick them in the land and then watch them grow. And then you can burn them every few years. But, you know, the land's going to win. The land is going to win. It's been here before us. Extinction is the rule in the Earth's creative process. And the land will win, and the water will wash away all the garbage. I mean, water has the power to reduce the Himalayan mountains to sand. So we don't have to worry about what's going to make it through this crisis or the next crisis. It'll be the land, the water.
So I was first drawn to participate in the Highway 55 reroute from a sign that was up at the YWCA that showed Eleanor Roosevelt and a number of other women with their long dresses with chains standing around a huge oak tree. And it was the Historic Oak Society invites you to join us for a historic photograph at the four trees.
Organized by Dan Oakman Kaiser.
So there were some four, there was an oak grove with four beautiful trees, and the Department of Transportation wanted to cut down the trees. There were people that had houses there. They were supposed to get out of their houses and sell their houses. And the only reason that we were told this was supposed to be happening was so that they could widen the road so that business people flying into the airport could get to downtown Minneapolis more quickly.
3 minutes quicker.
So this happened, it's probably about 20 years ago now.
Well,
it was a while ago that this happened.
1999, we had 800 cops who came down on our encampment, the famous encampment, the Minnehaha Free State. Thousands of people came through.
Makeshift structures were put up. There were teepees up. People were camping in trees.
Yep.
This happened in,
and
you know, south of Minnehaha Park.
And it was an organization that allied the Earth First kind of people with the conservative Native American people. And what called them all together was, of course, the land and the water and the future and the past. And we're right in the middle of the future and the past.
Always.
Right.
And I was touched by finding out that that spring for a period of history was looked at as neutral grounds. You know, people, warring tribes, people would not fight around springs.
Well,
you know, it was held
so
sacred.
All springs are sacred. All springs are sacred because it's the only water that you can drink. And I'm not talking about water that pools around us. No, I'm talking about the water that comes out of the rocks of the earth. And we can still drink cold water, even though there's a sign at the spring that says, don't drink this. It's good water. People have been drinking it for 9,000 years. We know that people have been here for 9,000 years because a 9,000-year-old spear point was found at a dig over in Mendota in 1996, Dr. Robert Klaus, the state archaeologist, found the bottom 1 inch of a 5-inch bison spear point.
Wow. That's powerful.
And so I interviewed him, and I said, well, where did this rock for this spear point come from? And he said, upstream on the Minnesota River towards Mankato, Makato. And I said, well, would that represent the people's food journey for the food cycle for the year? He said, yeah, not trade. And so, like, they looked at the rocks and they said, here's what we can do with those rocks. Here's what we can do with those trees. They farmed bur oak trees. They burned the land to attract deer and buffalo. And, well, actually, we didn't have many deer here because there were so many trees that a deer with a big rack couldn't get through.
Sure.
But when the acorns drop around September, the buffalo came in and the people came in for the buffalo.
Sure.
And for the acorns. And apparently the Dakota people have like 300 different recipes for acorn, everything from soup to bread. So here we are struggling to get to the grocery and buy as much toilet paper as we can, as they allow us to drag out, you know, and we're not looking at what's available.
You know, I would love to have acorn soup. You've inspired me to try something new here.
Well, the thing about the bur oaks is they have the largest, sweetest acorns.
I was wondering.
Of the six varieties of indigenous oaks
so
here.
So specifically they farmed the bur oaks for that and for use of the wood? Did they use any of the wood, do you think?
Yeah, like because they burn long. I mean, oak burns
slow and long.
Oh,
slow.
See, this
and,
is
and
such
good
stuff to know.
But these acorns, you can pick these up off the ground if they're check for wormholes. But you can pick them up and peel them and eat them. They're sweet. Every other acorn has to be
it's
processed.
More like a chestnut.
They're too bitter.
Yeah.
And you have to.
Yeah.
It involves a lot of work. But if you come to Coldwater, we can show you where the bur oaks are. In fact.
Oh, yeah. Speak about this next.
So every month on the full moon since the year 2000, we have had a walk at Sacred Coldwater Spring. Why do I call it sacred? Actually, the some Dakota people did the paperwork that assured the National Park Service that it actually qualifies as sacred land, even though we know it's sacred because it's a spring. Anyway, the next full moon walk is called Tree Love. Tree Love Full Moon Walk. Tuesday, April 7th at 7 o'clock. And you can get the information on the at our website, which is friendsofcoldwater.org. And, you know, it's just after all these years, 20 years of going there 12 or 13 times a year, every time there's a full moon, it's so interesting to watch the wheel of the year revolve and how the earth changes and stays the same. And the water, I mean, the water's been there for 10,000 years. Kelton Barr, geohydrologist, said that cold water might have been flowing not just between this last Wisconsin glacier, but the glacier before that. We're talking old land. And you go there, and you go there, and you sit there, and you watch. And the land, it releases its stories, its songs. The song, for example, when the wind blows through the cottonwood, that's one song. That's the cottonwood song. But through the oaks, it's more of a rattle. The leaves are different. So there are all these songs. And then there's a song, the water pouring out of the earth. And then there's the birds, and it's very interesting. And it is a song, and the earth sings. You just have to learn to read that music. So you go there over and over and over again.
So that is one of our poetic prescriptions for this time. Thank you, Susu.
You get out. I mean, the only thing, we can't go to movies, restaurant, anything, you know. So what can you do? Go to the park.
Listen to the land, the voice of the land. Thank you, Susu. And so we gave you a little bit of information about the Highway 55 reroute and kind of what happened there. Many, many ceremonies from different traditions were done to save the spring.
Well, we were told, the various sacred elders from various Dakota and Anishinaabe and other tribes said, you must return. Keep returning to this spring and let the spirits know you care. Return to the land. It's like returning to yourself because you bless the land. It's like a self-blessing. It's amazing the way blessings roll around from like your mouth or your heart and then back into you.
So thank you, Susu Jeffrey, the tireless keeper of Coldwater Spring for all these many years. And we're going to hear one of your poems now that I had requested, an old poem that I love, The Hum of the Blood of the Earth.
The Hum, yep.
The Hum of the Blood of the Earth. Laughing water in Dakota, Mine Ra Ra the Falls, discovered by Father Hennepin whilst a prisoner of native people. Hard limestone overlays sand, stone. Big river digs caves with mist. Anishinaabe say Kakabika, split rocks. First falls north from the Gulf of Mexico called Laughing Water, named Split Rocks, labeled Falls of St. Anthony. On the most polluted river in the world, current cuts rock, rearranges maps. St. Paul, Pig's Eye, dumps 350 pounds of cyanide a day. New Orleans drinks bottled water from the mouth to the source. Raw sewage and dream songs, layers of ancient inland sea break off in chunks with trees leaning into the river like lipo, tamarack, birch, hickory, mulberry, box elder, sycamore, sumac, chokecherry, laurel, willow, magnolia, cypress, bleed medicine, the color of Mississippi. Down the Allegheny, down the Monongahela, down the Ohio, Great North Woods, cut and pulled down the Mississippi to prairie sawmills south of St. Louis, logged out. French, Canadian, Scandinavian, Irish, German, landless Yankee, Americans. Big muddy melting pot. Shucking silt 2,000 miles across from Appalachia to the Rockies, down the Kentucky, Tennessee, the Yazoo in Arkansas, down the wide Missouri, topsoil and road salt sully the aorta of North America. Industrial cholesterol, a blood clot Mark Twain can't write off. Old Man River, cotton highway, banks and bluffs with names, sandbars with numbers, Coyote River dances 2,300 miles down the heartland, beaver islands and wild rice, buffalo, corn, catfish, great water, washes bones of bald eagles, points a migration path for geese, duck, red men, white and free men, since Turtle Island rose from glacier weight and more deer than people drank at these shores. 12,000 years from mastodon to nuclear waste, the river folds the land, sweeps over cultures, languages lost, except the river song, the hum of the blood of the earth. The Mississippi.
And that was poet Susu Jeffrey reading The Hum of the Blood of the Earth from her CD release, Mississippi Mother. And who was that singing in the background on that?
Deb Wade.
Okay.
Nice voice, real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So here we are on the banks of the Mississippi, and I believe spring's coming. Do you think spring's coming?
Yes, because there's this wonderful fat robin who's been visiting the water source on my deck. And I think she comes back. I kind of think I recognize her because, like, there she is. And, yeah.
Yeah, I saw my first one just a couple days ago.
At Coldwater, the robins stay year-round because down in Coldwater Creek, they can go down and peck out the little living things out of the water because the water doesn't freeze because it's a spring.
We'll bet you spring's coming. Despite all the change going on, there's some things that are stable and regular and still occurring that we can count on.
Spring. Yeah, the crocuses are going to come up.
Spring canvas smattering. Snow flaps ragged, receding on the hills, an old man's winter coat dissolving. The road unravels like a pioneer bouncing in the saddleboards over new land. Earth loves to listen to the full roaming voice of wind. All night submarines shift and grind on the deep lake rocks. Clogged with slush and pregnant, soon will birth gray, cool water wrinkled by wind. The whirl of stars spirals closer, ignites buds, blades, melts puddles. Animals appear from emerging crevasses, trail down faint paths. Ember fingers linger, soothe. Mist over the land, equinox, trembling, pivots.
Well, I do also want to celebrate. I have this car that I really adore. And, you know, when you park under a tree, you get these little Well, here's the title of the poem, Birdie Blessings. Glad the starlings are getting enough with all this cold. I was worried. Every Tuesday, Aunt Edith beats me three out of four Scrabble battles, sweetened by a little home cooking, a little dessert, aluminum-wrapped leftovers, and a baggie labeled bird food. Bluebell, my car, my mom calls her my best friend, prefers to park by the twin toothpicks planted after Dutch elm disease. Sometimes I spend more time scraping the windows than digging out.
So I have a short two poems that I would like to read of the poet Mike Finley's work. Hello, Mike, if you're listening today. This is from a book, 89 Objects of Happiness Arrayed in Ascending Order. Spring green. Spring green is not like regular green. It's more shot through with shafts of gold, gold that glimmers in the still angular sun. It is not sturdy or worried about rain. It isn't worried about anything. The grass is like a school of fish that shift with everything, with every drifting breeze. It is profligate and optimistic. Go ahead, step on our fibrous bodies, the blades and leaves and buds exclaim. You cannot crush us all. The ghosts of winter have been vacuumed away. And all us little faces now lift up our heads and sing.
Hey!
And that was Lorena McKennett, Huron Beltane Fire Dance. I'm going to read one more poem here by Mike Finley from his 89 Objects of Happiness Arrayed in Ascending Order book. And we want to give a nod out to Mike here, who's been battling a long illness. He's done so much for the local poetry community with readings and publishing for so many years. We appreciate you, Mike, and we want to thank you. Hope you're having a good day here. How it works. We are seed fluff that has been blown on. We part company with one another and float into the aloneness. We wander so long, borne aloft by breath, aching to see one another again, yearning to be stitched together at the foot. And it is like that until one day we come to rest and realize that we carried the nucleus inside us all along, that we arose from the core of a golden sun, and the day of blooming has been gathering inside the whole while. Mike Finley and Susu Jeffrey here in the studio.
I want to read about having a party. This is called The Party. I want to walk the path of beauty, see only the good, nurture but not weed. Across Cedar Lake at sunset, I see the plume from the garbage burner, the pretty moving smoke wafting toward native and black neighborhoods. I want to walk on. To pass this is to pass it on and on. To see this thing so invisible to some of my friends, most of my family, who don't see the great cottonwood and the path of the highway. This tree, that smoke, jump into my vision and settle in chronic indigestion. We demonstrate, do research, lobby, and pray for wisdom for the leaders. It is never enough. But we have good parties. Mm-hmm. People are having walking parties. They're having neighborhood parties where they turn on a boombox and people come out of their houses and
stay
on
right
the sidewalk
around there.
Yep. And boogie.
Yep, from you know, a respectful distance, but still together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And there's been some really good programming on NPR. There's a man named Sam something or another. I caught a little bit of his show where he had people call in and say what their favorite moments were during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a recorded message from someone in Madrid, Spain.
Oh, wow.
And I guess at 8 o'clock at night, everybody opens their windows or goes out on their balconies and they
because
clap.
Because they live in these high-rise apartments.
And they clap for the healthcare workers that are saving everybody's lives. And in the recording, you could hear some of the cheering and clapping of the healthcare worker for the healthcare workers. I thought it was very touching.
In Italy, they're going out on their balconies and singing.
There are a couple villages that are having a competition of which can sing better.
So being as we're talking about nature and the City Pages last issue was all about getting out into the state parks and hiking, getting out in nature. We've been talking about nature today in the studio, so I'm gonna read one of my poems about a state park. Enduring dawn. Light drapes across northern plains, climbs ponderosa boughs, hills, peaks over edge of canyon. Light has come to campers in the valley of the Coolidge Creek. A silent leaping from rocky outcrop across high cliffs, rays shed over needles, spires, ancient, animated rocks. Dark-eyed white mountain goats watch from their home high in the Pahasapa, the Black Hills. The land speaks underneath our feet, weaving through our breath, bodies, dreams, and prayers, the thundering of years. I put my hands on the warm rock in the middle of the creek. What has it seen, heard, absorbed in this valley 100 years? Sacred to the Lakota, abundant fish and game for survival, the coming of the white man, settlers, railroads, the near extinction of the buffalo, and their recovery here again in what has been recognized as sacred land, now by many races, a larger hoop. 2. My little sister's delight, 3-year-old white feet in clear Coolidge Creek's waters. A deer tentatively moves closer, nibbles oak leaves from her hand. In the early 60s, small cabins, brown logs or boards with yellow trim. Coolidge in a cafeteria, we sit at tables eating blueberries and cream. In this valley my mother loved, lodge my father admired, to which we all return now, each spring, 60 years, a parent's legacy, DNA remnant of some old migration, ancestors with us. I sit on porch of State Game Lodge, wide with history. Colorful native rock, fireplaces sparkle. The summer White House of Calvin Coolidge, Teddy Roosevelt, historic photos of tribal gatherings, and we thank them. Black Elk, Peter Norbeck, Badger Clark, and so many others. People of vision who knew to protect the land and creatures for future generations, for us, so we can free the mind and wind the meandering wildlife loop road of buffalo, antelope, prairie dog, meadowlark, so we can hike the bluffs, swim in clear cold water, rest and renew in the ancient heart of North America. We envision Custer State Park 100 years into the future for those to come. Hearts content and full in the sacred old mountains of the Black Hills. A light emerges, simply endures through ponderosa boughs. That poem was written for the 100-year anniversary of Custer State Park in the Black Hills, and they may be changing the name of the park at some point. Harney Peak has become Black Elk Peak, just like Bede-Makaska here. So that process is happening. And flute music by our St. Paul local Ralph Karsten from an early release, Grandfather's Gift.
That was really pretty.
He is still creating wonderful amplifiers with his company, Atmosphere Music Systems, if you want to have some good music to listen to while you are at home. Susu Jeffrey.
I call the hill an earth breast in the west, where the year stretches from aurora borealis to midsummer. The sunset Appaloosa prances the fire out. The hill I inherited after years of looking, 3 trees, a horse, the wind, I rediscover the hill holds time. I plant trees in a rectangle in the city. On paper, I own this land. This land owns me. But the hill, I own like my skin, my story. The land is her own.
Thank you, Susu Jeffrey, and we are getting ready for spring, celebrating the land, Pam Hill. I have a praises poem I want to read by the late poet Tom McGrath, at least an excerpt from it. He was in the studio 20 years ago here. The recording that we made of Tom here is on a cassette, so I've got to transfer it before we could play it again, but he had such an amazing, powerful voice. So here is his praises poem. The vegetables please us with their modes and virtues. The demure heart of the lettuce inside its circular court, baroque-ear of quiet, under its rustling house of lace, pleases us. And the bold strength of the celery, its green Hispanic shout, its exclamatory confetti, and the analog that is onion, Ptolemaic astronomy and tearful allegory, the platonic circles of his inexhaustible soul. Oh, and the straightforwardness in the labyrinth of cabbage, the infallible rectitude of homegrown mushroom under its cone of silence like a papal hat. All these please us, and the syllabus of the corn, that wampum, its golden roads leading out of the wigwams of its silky and youthful smoke. The nobility of the dill, cool in its silences and cathedrals. Tomatoes, five alarm fires in their musky barrios. Peas asleep in their cartridge clips. Beets blood, colonies of the imperial cauliflower and the Buddha-like seeds of the pepper, turning their prayer wheels in the green gloom of their caves. All these we praise. They please us always. These smallest virtues, all these earth-given, and the heaven-hung fruit also. By the we praise by the skin of our teeth, persimmon and pawpaws constant, affair with gravity, and the proletariat of the pomegranate inside its leathery city. And let us praise all these as they please us, skin, flesh, flower and the flowering bones of their seeds, from which come orchards, bees, honey, flowers, love's language, love, heart's ease, poems, praise. Excerpt from Praises by Tom McGrath. We're going to go out with a little John Lennon. Thank you, Susu Jeffrey, for being here.
Thank you,
and Pam
Maureen.
Hill. And I'm Maureen Skelly. And this has been another spring edition of the Eclectic Collective.
Dot dot org.